A photo shows a smiling teen boy and his dog.
Togetherness, the two of us together, it's the only place to be.
A title appears, You Lucky Dog.
No matter what the weather, you can always count on me.
A tabloid cover shows the boy with his golden brown dog. Bold lettering reads, Boy Reads Dog's Mind, Stunned Scientists. Another headline reads, Research Indicates Psychic Abilities. Dog and Boy Have ESP. A photo shows the teenager at a blackboard wearing a tie and sweater vest. Another headline reads, An Amazing Dog Psychic. Orphaned Boy Can Read His Own Dog's Mind. In a newspaper photo, the boy and his dog wear headbands connected to wires. Part of the caption reads, Morgan and Dog Skipper Being Tested by a Scientist. A quote in the article reads, He's thinking of a meaty bone. In the back of a limousine, a brown dog rests his head in the lap of an older bald man who reads the article's headline.
Dog psychic stuns experts.
Huh? Don't you worry, boy. Everything's gonna be all right. Looks like he's the real thing, boy.
In a waiting room, a couple sits by a receptionist.
Mr. Morgan is a dog therapist. He's been gifted with a psychic connection to canines. So he can read their thoughts and communicate with them. And you'll sit your dog down for a consultation and see if he can't just get to the heart of what's really bothering him.
Is this for real or what?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Mr. Morgan's been doing this for years. He's a very talented and sensitive therapist.
A young man now, the dog psychic sleeps in his office. A dog sitting on a stuffed chair stares at the hot dog on Mr. Morgan's desk. In the waiting room, the receptionist answers the phone.
Dog therapist. This is Bernice.
A dog therapist? For crying out loud, why do I listen to you?
Oh, really? Well, I put that check in the mail last week.
He listens at Morgan's door.
Nothing in the envelope. I guess the check must have fallen out.
There's nothing going on in there. $50 down the drain.
Well, maybe he communicates with his clients on a higher level.
That does it. I'm going in there.
No, you can't go in there.
He barges into Morgan's office and finds the dog eating the hot dog.
What did I tell you? He's nothing but a big phony.
Well, we were making some real progress.
Progress? You were sleeping.
Well, that's how it may appear to the untrained eye.
Well, let's see what it looks like with a black eye.
I'm sensing a lot of hostility here. And that could really cause some serious psychological damage to Bosco, from which he may never recover. And you're going to have to live with that.
Fine. Live with this. I happen to be a personal friend of the mayor, and I'm going to have this place closed down quicker than you can say cease and desist. Get the dog, Emily.
His wife calls for the dog and follows it out. The frowning receptionist plants her hands on her hips.
Oh, sure, like he really knows the mayor.
No, this is it. I've just had it, Jack. It's too stressful. Besides, I've already got a line on a job with more career potential.
What kind of job?
Drive-in hostess at the chicken barn.
You're sure I can't talk you out of leaving?
Positive.
What if I give you a raise?
I'd settle for what you already owe me, Jack.
I'm sure gonna miss you, Bernice. A customer!
Jack opens the door to the older man, his brown dog, and a tall, burly man.
Oh, Jack Morgan.
At your service.
I'm Clive Windsor. This is Calvin.
Hello.
And this unhappy fellow is Lucky.
He's been so upset and agitated lately. I'm very concerned.
Jack examines the dog.
Yes, I can see. He needs immediate attention.
He checks the dog's eyes and nose.
Could be a chewing disorder. Or tail anxiety. Or both.
He eyes Calvin, who glances dubiously at Mr. Windsor.
Bernice, when is my next open appointment?
He leans on her desk as she checks a book.
You're clear till next Thanksgiving.
Well, looks like we have a cancellation. We can get started right away. Please, make yourselves comfortable. Bernice, the gentleman might like a cup of coffee.
So would I, to cross the street at the diner.
She's great. Okay, well, come on, Lucky. This won't take long.
Come on, this won't hurt a bit.
That's it, boy. Go ahead.
Jack brings the dog into his office.
Here we go. Have a seat.
Lucky climbs onto a stuffed chair and lies down. Jack leans on his desk and studies him. The dog has brown eyes and black fur outlining a white blaze on its snout.
Who am I kidding? Your head's as empty as a clear sky, isn't it?
J- Jack leans closer.
Even if I could read your mind, all you'd be thinking about is chasing squirrels and drinking out of a toilet. You know, believe it or not, there was a time when I could actually do this. For real. I was just a kid. Maybe it was some kind of genetic thing.
Well, whatever it was, it just faded away.
Lucky sits up as Jack paces away. Jack suddenly glances around.
Man, what was that?
Lucky stares at him.
I gotta get out of this office more often. I've gotta get some fresh air.
Jack looks around again.
What the heck is going on?
He locks eyes with the dog. Lucky stares intensely, and Jack knits his brow.
Wait a second. What are you looking at?
Glancing away, Lucky licks his lips. Jack slowly stands up.
What are you up to?
Jack straightens.
All right. All right, that's it. This session is officially over.
He grabs Lucky's leash and leads the dog into the waiting room where Mr. Windsor waits with Calvin. Jack hands off the leash.
Oh, done already?
Yes, I'm having trouble getting through to him. I'm sorry, it's just not going to work out.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. You know, maybe you should just see another dog therapist or a veterinarian. Anybody but me.
Is Lucky all right?
I don't know.
Is he sick?
I don't...
Lucky eyes Jack, who stares at Mr. Windsor.
He's worried about you.
Me?
He's sensing some hostility from two... No, three people in your own home.
How did you know about that?
Jack eyes Lucky.
To be honest with you, I have no idea. You know, it was probably just a lucky guess. Listen, you better leave.
Well, at least let me pay you for your information.
Oh, no. I cut the session short. I'm not going to charge you a thing.
No. I insist. Now I understand what's been bothering Lucky.
Well, I'm glad I could help.
You have a remarkable gift, young man.
Mr. Windsor walks out with Lucky, who stops and turns back to stare at Jack.
Come on.
Shifting on his feet, Jack smiles, and Lucky walks away with Mr. Windsor. Calvin frowns soberly as he leaves, closing the door behind him.
A gift? It's more like a curse.
You know, what happened in there?
It's the dog.
What, Windsor's?
Yeah, I got a really weird vibe off him. It kind of spooked me.
What are you talking about?
After all these years, he's the only one that I almost... He just rattled me.
Jackie, well, if you're talking about you know what, you haven't had that since you were 14.
He nods, and Bernice answers the phone.
Yeah? I see. Jack, it's the mayor's office.
2 weeks later, movers clear out Jack's office. He stands in the empty room using the phone.
Oh, so it's Mr. Mooney's word against mine, is that it? Well, I happen to be a respected canine therapist. Why are you laughing? Listen, I provide a valuable service to the community. Hello?
A mover unplugs the phone and grabs a hold of it. Jack hangs up.
Well, fine. Pick my bones while I'm down, you vultures. Oh, I can't believe it. This is totally unfair.
Mr. Morgan?
Calvin walks in.
Remember me, Calvin Bridges?
Yes. You work for,
Mr. Windsor.
Right.
I'm sorry. Did I come at a bad time?
Oh, no. I'm just, remodeling.
Uh-huh.
What brings you here, Mr. Bridges?
Oh, bad news, I'm afraid. Mr. Windsor passed away last week.
Oh, I'm very sorry. He was such a nice old guy.
Yes, he was. Now you're needed at the estate.
Why?
Something to do with Lucky.
No, thanks.
Oh, now, I really think you should reconsider.
Mm-mm, I told you, I want nothing to do with that dog.
Now, this could be very much worth your while. Come on, let me drive you over.
No.
Why? You got something better to do?
Well,
In an elegant home, Lucky sits on the floor watching a meeting in the dining room.
I think we're ready to begin the proceedings. First, let me express my heartfelt condolences on the death of your Uncle Clive Windsor.
Thank you, my dear. It has indeed been very devastating.
It's been so difficult.
Please proceed. Fine. I, Clive Windsor, being of sound mind and body,
yeah, right.
Do hereby bequeath my worldly possessions to my only living heirs as follows.
Yes.
To my nephew, Reuben, who never showed an interest in anything other than his own comfort, I leave my favorite easy chair.
I always liked that chair.
You moron. He's cut you out of his will.
Lucky watches them intently.
Who's next?
To my niece, Margaret, whose greed is rivaled only by her vanity, I leave one full-length mirror.
And?
I'm afraid that's it.
It's mine! It's mine!
What?
Thank you, Uncle. Thank you.
How dare he?
And to my sniveling nephew, Lyle, who has always been a big numbskull, I leave nothing.
Lyle's mouth hangs open.
What?
That's right, Lyle. Absolutely nothing. Oh, that's what it says. I think that just about covers it.
Wait a minute. Who gets the money?
It's the $64 million.
The $64 million has been placed in a trust fund.
But who gets the money?
Jack rides in the back of a limo.
Mr. Bridges, if it's not a house call, then why are we going to the Windsor estate? I told you, I'm a very busy man. I'm practically a doctor.
You're meeting with Mr. Windsor's attorney.
His attorney?
Here we are.
Jack puts down the window and sees a sprawling mansion.
Wow, this is the place?
I've seen smaller museums.
Ornate metal gates swing open. The car turns into the drive and heads toward the mansion. Inside, Margaret kicks a police officer in the leg. He ushers her outside, and another officer follows with Lyle. The attorney addresses the heirs. They see the limo.
Is that him?
Margaret, Lyle, and Reuben watch the limo approach. Jack stares out the open back window and smiles as he gets out.
Hi. I'm Jack Morgan, the dog therapist.
I'll kill you!
Margaret grabs him around the throat and tackles him into the limo. A policeman climbs in after them, then Lyle. As Lyle and the policeman pull Margaret away, Jack sits up. Calvin reaches through the sunroof and pulls Jack out of the limo. Someone grabs his leg.
Hey, my foot!
Calvin lifts Jack free and drops him on the ground. Scrambling to the driver's side, Calvin gets behind the wheel, slams the door, and pulls away with Margaret standing in the open sunroof.
I'll be back!
The attorney eyes Jack.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm Jack Morgan. I'm here to see Mr. Windsor's attorney.
That's me, Allison Kent.
You're the attorney?
Yes. You seem surprised.
Well, I am. I mean, I was. Well...
Lucky lowers his head and Jack turns to look. As the dog pants, Jack furrows his brow.
Are you okay?
Yeah, great.
Good. We have some business to discuss.
We do?
Lucky follows them inside. Jack stares up at the vaulted ceiling above a winding staircase.
Nice place.
Perhaps you'd like to take a look around.
Yeah, sure.
I think I should tell you, first of all, to prepare yourself. The situation that we're in here, it's a bit unusual. In fact, I think it's safe to say it's the first of its kind. When you met Mr. Windsor, I'm sure you noticed he was a very unique individual. During his lifetime, he amassed a fortune of $64 million.
Well, that definitely qualifies as amassing.
You just met his only living heirs, who could best be described as...
pond scum?
Let's just say Mr. Windsor thought they were undeserving. So that's why Mr. Windsor decided to leave his entire estate to the only one he knew possessed enough heart and spirit to enjoy the money properly. His dog. Lucky.
You're joking, right?
No, I'm not.
Wait a minute. How does a dog inherit money?
Well, the entire $64 million has been placed in a trust. And you have been named trustee. Lucky's permanent translator. his legal voice in all matters regarding his whims and wishes for spending the fortune. The dog will be in control of the assets, and you will be working for him.
Me?
Apparently, Mr. Windsor was very impressed with you.
Really?
Lucky watches them.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's get this straight. The dog and I have control of all the money?
That's right. And all the property, including this mansion. If you choose to become trustee. Of course, it does require some duties on your part.
Oh. Duties?
You'd have to live here.
Oh, gee.
And you'll have a full-time staff.
Ooh, a staff. I like the sound of that. Now, are you sure this whole thing is legal?
Ironclad. Unless, of course, the heirs can prove that you're mentally incompetent.
Oh, well, no problem there. I mean, I am sharp as a tack.
As Lucky scratches himself, Jack scratches behind his ear. Grinning, Jack picks up the pace. Allison's smile fades as she watches him.
Mr. Morgan?
Hmm?
Jack and Lucky stop scratching.
So, is there anything else?
Well, there is the matter of money. Here's some credit cards and cash to tide you over until we set up your bank accounts.
Oh, excellent.
It's been very interesting.
Jack follows her.
I think that takes care of things for now.
Yeah, well, drop by any time. I'll see you later.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
She heads out, and Jack closes the door behind her. As he leans against it, a broad grin lights up his face.
It's all mine. This whole castle is mine. I am master of the manor. I'm lord of the castle. I'm lord of the flies. Lord of the dance!
He dances around. He throws a pillow and Calvin catches it.
What can I say? I've never been rich before.
Ah, and it looks like I'm your new driver.
Ah, great!
I live upstairs in the West Wing. I'll be more than happy to help you find your bedroom.
Sure. Wow, I've never lived in a place that needed a tour guide before. Oh, man, have I got a weird taste in my mouth. You got a mint?
No.
Man, it tastes like shoe leather.
Are you all right, Chief?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, follow me.
Okay.
Jack walks off with Calvin. Lucky emerges from another room with a leather shoe in his mouth and lies down. In a dark paneled office, Lyle drops antacid tablets into a glass of water.
The old man knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to teach her some stupid lesson about the real world or something.
All I want to know is how do we get our money back?
According to the will, the only way to dissolve the trust is to prove that the trustee, Mr. Jack Morgan, is mentally incompetent.
He claims to be a dog psychic. What more proof do you need?
Can you do it?
Of course. Relax. If it takes me more than a week, I'll retire. But it's going to cost you.
How much?
30%.
What?
I think he said 30%.
That's 30% of our money.
Your money currently belongs to a dog. 30% of squat is still squat. Do you want your house back or not? I cause, because I'm the best in the business. I can have you back in your mansion, on your patio, with that dog on a barbecue spit in a couple of weeks, but 30% is what it'll cost. Take it or leave it.
What do we do for money in the meantime?
Well, you could always take a job. All right. Cut back on your spending.
Cut back?
How am I supposed to live? I use an imported shampoo.
Well, you could wear that hat for a week.
No. We need a court order to be able to get back into the house, to be able to get our cars, our belongings.
Negative.
I don't want you going back there until after the trial. I'm going for emotion here. I want to be able to tell the jury that you were too traumatized to go back. Don't worry. You'll be back in your rooms in no time.
Oh, this is an outrage. We have no credit cards, no cars. I can't even imagine what kind of room we could rent for the amount of cash we have on us.
What are we going to do?
We'll consider the offer, Mr. Pfister. Thank you. Come on, let's go.
Lyle gets up. Margaret trains her withering gaze on Mr. Pfister. He returns a polite smile as they leave.
I can't stand the thought of that little creep in my home. Heaven only knows what he's doing at this very moment.
In the mansion, Jack takes a bubble bath.
And in 5 seconds, level the clock. Jack Morgan. Who are you?
He shoots an orb like a basketball into the tub.
It's good! Jack Morgan wins it again! What an athlete! What a man!
Covered in suds, he raises his arms victoriously.
Where's the ball? Where's the ball?
I'm going in.
At a pair of French doors, two women peer through the frosted glass.
Mr. Moliband! It's the house Peter's club with tonight's the singer!
They open the doors. Wearing black dresses and white aprons, they look past a sitting area to the bathtub filled with bubbles. They warily enter the room and approach the tub. Jack lunges out of the water wearing a snorkel and mask. He holds up the orb. The shocked women back away.
Wait, don't be afraid. I live here.
The housekeepers hurry out.
Miss?
One of the women closes the doors and he gapes.
Hello?
Under a dark sky, a glowing motel sign with a broken letter reads, Hotel. In a room with Lyle, Margaret examines the bed linens.
Look at these sheets.
At least they're clean.
But they're cotton. This skin has never slept on anything less than 100% silk. And I'm certainly not about to start rubbing elbows with mattress buttons now.
Lyle works on a fixture with a bare light bulb.
This is unbearable. This is completely unacceptable.
How much longer can we be expected to endure this?
I suggest we take matters into our own hands.
In bed, Reuben eyes them.
Tell me. What do you have in mind?
Why pay that greedy attorney millions of dollars when we can handle the problem ourselves?
Yes, yes.
If lucky becomes unlucky, the money reverts to us.
You mean all we have to do is change the dog's name?
No. If Lucky has an accident, we get all of it back.
Oh.
Too risky. Before we go that far, let's get the goods on that phony mutt lover.
Let's not forget we're down to our last quarter.
Can I use it for the vibrating bed, please?
Reuben holds out his hand, and Lyle gives him a quarter. Reuben inserts it into a coin slot on a box labeled Magic Fingers. The bed shakes as he lies back next to Margaret and Lyle, who sit, vibrating. At the mansion with the housekeepers, Jack eats in the kitchen.
I know it's strange, but Mr. Windsor was convinced I know exactly how Lucky wants the money spent. I'm neat, and I'm tidy. I eat the normal stuff at the normal times. There's nothing fancy about me. I think you'll find I am just a normal...
Lucky shakes his head.
What?
What?
Jack eyes the women.
What did you say?
I beg your pardon?
You said something about going outside.
Outside? No.
You.
No.
Oh. What was I saying?
You said you were normal and...
That's right. I am perfectly normal and... Hey, if you gotta go, you gotta go. Don't let me stop you.
What?
You just said...
I didn't say anything.
Are you sure?
I think I know.
Then you?
Nothing.
Lucky puts his paws on the table, and Jack furrows his brow as he looks over. The fluffy dog pants.
Oh no.
What is it?
He just... I just... Oh! Do you know what this means?
Yes. The dog wants to go outside.
How did you know that?
But because dogs always make those whining noises when they want to go out.
Oh, right. I'm a dog therapist. I know that. Will you excuse us for just a minute? Can I talk with you?
Jack grabs Lucky's collar and leads the dog into the next room. Lucky sits.
I'm hearing you inside my head. And you can understand me too, can't you? Why didn't you tell me when we first met at the office? All right, maybe I wasn't listening, but I had a lot on my mind.
He's talking to the dog.
It's very strange.
You don't understand. After all these years, it's come back. Why now? I knew this setup was too good to be true. I know you need to go out. Just hold it, will you? All right, listen. I have been through this before, and it's no fun for me. All right. Slow down, will you? I haven't done this since I was a kid. Wait a minute. This could be worse than I thought.
Jack crouches in front of Lucky.
All right. Listen, I've got to ask you something. Now, this is very important, so think it through carefully. What's your personality like? Do you get overexcited easily?
Lucky shakes his head.
You don't strike me as the type that gets too hyper. And that's good, because it's very important to stay calm. Whatever you do, you don't want to get too emotional. Now, tail wagging is acceptable in moderation. An occasional outbreak of barking or a token growl, it's fine, too. You just don't want to get too excited. Because it's bad. It's real bad.
Lucky cocks his head.
Why is it bad? You don't want to know. People might think I'm nuts.
He's definitely nuts.
All right already. I heard you the first two times. You want to go out? We'll go out.
Jack leads Lucky by the collar. Outside, Jack paces while the dog sniffs.
And don't think you're going to be barking out orders at me either. That's not how it's going to work around here. Are you listening to me? Oh, come on. That's the same spot you circled three times now. Don't you recognize it yet? Sorry. I didn't mean to throw off your concentration.
With his hands in his pockets, Jack follows Lucky across the yard.
Oh, that's the spot, huh? Great. I think you made a fine choice.
Lucky stares at Jack.
What?
Jack sags.
Oh, for crying out loud, I'm not watching. I'm waiting. All right, no problem. I guess I wouldn't want to be watched either.
Jack looks away.
Are you finished? Hello?
Lucky spins in circles.
What? A bone? All right, just calm down. It's just a bone. Stay calm. Lucky, just relax, will ya? Hey, come on. I thought you said you didn't get excited that easily.
Jack suddenly tenses up.
Oh, no. No!
He drops to the ground. Watching from a window, the curly-haired housekeeper gapes. The straight-haired housekeeper walks outside.
What in the world?
She sees Jack on his hands and knees digging in the yard with Lucky. As she approaches, Jack kicks up clods of grass.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Jack looks up.
Are you sure you're all right, sir?
Oh, fine. Just looking for a bone.
Jack digs some more.
What?
A bone. I need to find a bone. I buried a big, juicy bone out here a few nights ago, and I can't remember where it is. It's driving me crazy.
Dirt stains his face.
I can just smell it. I know it's in here. I can just taste it, too.
Jack digs with his hands while Lucky uses his paws.
Hold the bone. This could be gravy.
While Jack searches his hole, Lucky finds a bone.
Hallelujah! It's still got some meat on it.
You need help.
Oh, baby, I could just chew on you all night.
How dare you!
Oh, come here, you tasty morsel.
As sprinklers turn on, the housekeeper runs away. In a bedroom, asleep with a book on his chest, Calvin wakes up and rolls over. On his side, he restlessly opens his eyes. He pulls the covers over his head. In the kitchen, Jack comes in from outside on his hands and knees. Lucky follows him inside and shakes. Jack shakes like a dog, then crawls off. In her room, the curly-haired housekeeper packs as the other woman runs in.
I think it's dangerous.
I knew it. You guys are fruitcake.
The straight-haired housekeeper gets a garment bag. The women tense as they listen. Later, they pause on the stairs with their coats on. They continue on. In a trashed parlor, Jack kneels on a sofa strewn with down feathers, a pillow in his mouth. Lucky tugs on the other side. The straight-haired woman glances at the other housekeeper.
He is one sick puppy.
The curly-haired woman gasps, and her colleague enters the room.
Excuse me. I just wanted to let you know that we're leaving now. It's nothing personal, but I think you might be possessed by the devil or something. So we're just going to go now.
Panting with feathers in his mouth, Jack crawls after them. The women hurry outside with their luggage. The housekeepers race to a parked car as Jack crawls outside with Lucky on his heels. The straight-haired woman gets behind the wheel, and her colleague gets in the passenger's side. As they drive off, Jack and Lucky scale a big rock and tip their faces toward the night sky. In the morning, unearthed bones lie around holes in the dug-up yard. In the trashed parlor, Lucky sleeps on the floor strewn with down feathers and squeaky toys. Lying nearby, Jack rolls onto his back. He shifts onto his side and rests his head against a giant bone on the floor. Blinking as he wakes up, he frowns at the bone. His eyes widen as he looks around and sits up. Wincing in pain, he stretches his neck.
Oh, my head.
He sticks out his tongue. Ugh. He sees Lucky sleeping on the floor with feathers on him. Jack tugs a shoe out of the dog's mouth.
Shoe! No wonder. Lucky, wake up! Hey, we gotta talk.
Lucky sits up. Scanning the overturned furniture, Jack lifts his hands.
Hey, look at this place! Look at you! Look at me!
Dirt stains his shirt.
What did we do last night? Raid the city dump?
Lucky nods.
Wait, don't even answer that. What did I get myself into?
Calvin watches Jack crouch by the dog.
This is not gonna go on like this. You understand? You have got to concentrate on not getting excited and behaving yourself. You got it?
Lucky nods again.
All right, then.
Jack sits on the ruined couch.
$64 million. Just keep reminding yourself of that.
I hate to interrupt.
Jack looks at Calvin.
Good morning.
Morning.
Calvin smiles tightly.
So, you, talk to the dog, huh?
Yes, I do.
And, he understands you?
I'm afraid so.
And you understand him?
That's right.
Okay. I see. You know, I've known old Lucky here for a few years. Why don't you ask him why he chewed up my brand new Italian leather gloves last week? You know, I'd really like to know that.
Jack stares at Lucky.
Well?
The brown-eyed dog pumps his lips as he stares back at Jack.
He says he couldn't resist. He loves Italian food.
Lucky licks his lips.
Is that so? Huh. I guess they would be pretty tasty at that.
Calvin exchanges a glance with Lucky. Softening, Calvin shakes his head.
Why don't you clean yourself up? I'll make us a pot of coffee.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin strides out. In the kitchen, he brushes Lucky's long brown fur.
Look at this stuff, man. What are you, walking garbage can?
Jack enters and pours himself coffee.
So, how weird did things get last night?
Let's just say that for the first time in my life, I locked my bedroom door and slept with my light on.
That bad, huh?
You want to tell me what's going on here, Chief?
Not really.
Calvin plants a hand on his hip and fixes his stern gaze on Jack.
Okay. Okay, listen. When Lucky gets excited, when he gets really, really excited,
Crouching by Lucky, Jack pets him.
His personality kind of jumps into me. And then I kind of become him.
Kelvin knits his brow.
What?
You know, it's kind of like channeling.
You become a dog?
Cold nose, car chasing the works.
He expects me to believe this.
What, you think I'm making this up?
Jack sits next to Kelvin at the table.
Hey, listen, Kelvin. I wouldn't blame you if you left.
I've been here 15 years. I got a good thing going here. It's home. I want it to stay that way, but if you keep on pretending to be Lassie, they're going to run us out of here quicker than you can say Timmy fell down the well.
Jack sags his shoulders. Lucky watches him intently.
Can I fix you some breakfast? Huh? Bacon, eggs, kibble?
No, thanks. I had too much garbage last night.
Jack glances at Lucky.
Hey, how about you, fella? You hungry?
No, he hasn't had much of an appetite since the night the old man died.
Later.
Here you go, Lucky. Breakfast fit for a king.
Lucky lies on the floor staring at a bowl of kibble.
You've got to eat, Lucky. What's bothering you, pal?
Lucky stares off. A flashback shows Mr. Windsor in the kitchen pouring cream into a mug. Lucky walks over with his leash in his mouth.
Not tonight, Lucky. It's the coldest night of the year.
Mr. Windsor stirs his tea. Lucky drops the leash and shakes his head.
You know just how to get to me, don't you, boy? All right, come on.
He heads out with Lucky. Right. Fog swirls across the drive as Mr. Windsor walks Lucky in a downpour.
Oh, boy, not too fast. You're going too fast for me, Lucky. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you'll be okay on your own. Yeah.
Okay. He unclips the leash, and Lucky runs across the drive. Mr. Windsor drops his umbrella, and Lucky turns to see him collapse. As the older man falls to the ground, Lucky runs over and licks Mr. Windsor's face. Fog wafts over the rain-slicked drive, and Lucky lifts his head. Back in the present, Lucky lies still with his chin on the floor.
Lucky, it wasn't your fault. He was an old man.
Lucky lifts his head.
I know you miss him, but sooner or later, you've got to let him go. Look, just try to remember the good times that you had together, like going for walks and riding in the car. Those are the things that he left behind for you. That's what you have to hold on to.
Lucky drops his chin.
In the meantime, you've got to eat.
Lucky lies still. Heaving a deep breath, Jack shifts his gaze.
I know. You need a change of scenery. What do you say we go someplace?
Lucky stands.
Oh, you like that idea, huh? Okay, where do you want to go? What? You want to go where? Oh, no, not the mall. Okay. All right.
Jack trains his gaze on Kelvin.
We've decided to go to the mall.
The mall?
Jack nods.
Okay, well, I'll bring the car around.
Kelvin gets up and Jack eyes Lucky.
All right. Just don't get yourself all worked up, okay? We're going to the mall. Just stay calm. Calm.
Kelvin opens the front door and Jack crawls over.
Oh, boy. We're going for a ride. I love your ride.
Lucky runs after Jack, who crawls over to the limo and spins in a circle. Jack slams his hands against the rear door. Then Lucky jumps through the open window. Jack climbs in after him. Kelvin gets in the driver's side wearing a suit and tie. He closes the door, then furrows his brow and glances back. On his knees, Jack lunges from one limo seat to another.
I apologize if you're not, but are you by any chance the dog right now?
Hey, I'm covered in fur, aren't I? Who else would I be? Come on, let's roll!
Kelvin turns away.
Hold it! Oh, serious hits coming on!
As Lucky scratches with his back foot, Kelvin looks back and sees Jack scratching like a dog with his foot in the air.
Oh, baby!
Oh, Susanna! Oh, honey, come on, bring it on!
That's better. Ever get one right behind the ear? Oh, I can drive you crazy.
Calvin looks away.
Hey, come on, what are we waiting for? Let's get this bucket on the road.
I'm gonna need a lot more money for this gig. I can see that right now.
The metal gates open, and the limo pulls out of the driveway. Lucky and Jack hang their heads out the back window. Hiding in a parked van, the Windsor heirs sit up. Margaret peers through binoculars as Lyle drives off. Following the limo down a street lined with palm trees, the van drifts into the wrong lane, then swerves out of the way of an oncoming car. With his head out the window, Jack watches the van pull alongside the limo. Lyle grins.
Better than we could hope for.
Reuben films Jack and Lucky barking.
He's a total maniac!
Yeah.
Get close to the limousine so we can get him on tape. Hurry up!
Reuben aims a video camera at the limo.
Are you putting this on video?
Margaret rides in the back, smiling. The limo turns right. Lyle slows down and follows.
You don't even have a light. And don't call me stupid anymore. I'm telling you, keep that up, I'm gonna just scream.
The van rear ends a vehicle.
Oh, you've done it, Lyle.
But it was your fault.
At least we have that raving idiot on video.
Oh, no. Oh, I forgot to put a videotape in this thing.
You what?
The family gets out of the vehicle, and the driver picks up a bike that fell off. The van speeds away. The van swerves through traffic, then passes a car.
We've lost them.
Yeah, well, it's time to stop pussyfooting around.
Don't you think it'll look a tad suspicious if something happens to the dog so soon?
I pulled it off the first time, didn't I? We'll break into the house and we'll get the mutt tonight. This time next week, we'll be sleeping in our own beds. Everybody in sync?
Maybe I could make a deal with him.
The dog?
No. Our Mr. Morgan.
Oh.
I'll use my irresistible charm.
Right.
As the limo travels down a street, Jack licks the separation window behind Calvin's seat.
Stop that. Stop that!
Calvin puts the window down.
Got you. Huh? Ooh. Just happy bumps in the glove compartment. Ooh, happy bumps.
All right, all right.
Happy bumps.
Calvin gets a dog treat out of the glove compartment and tosses it in the back seat. Jack bumps his head as Lucky beats him to the treat. Jack sits up holding his head. Jack shakes his head and knits his brow. He sits up and leans on the partition behind Calvin.
Wow, what just happened?
You took another little trip to the rubber kennel.
Man, we've got to figure out a way to keep Lucky from getting so excited.
Whatever you say, boss.
Calvin answers the car phone.
Hello? Ah, yes, he is. Yes, he is, Miss Kent. Just a minute. Now remember, you be careful or you're going to blow it for both of us.
Yeah.
Jack takes the phone.
Hello, Allison? Hi, how are you?
Sure. I'd love to sign some more papers. But right now, we're on our way to the mall. Why don't you just meet us there?
Your daughter? I didn't know you had a... We'll bring her along. Yeah. Well, we're going to the pet store. Where else is a dog gonna shop?
Calvin glances fretfully at Jack. Later, in a furniture store, Lucky climbs over a stuffed ottoman, then wanders through a sitting room display. Jack follows him.
Now, I hate to break it to you, Lucky, but dogs just don't buy furniture. I mean, a new dish, maybe, or a
Lucky sits on a sofa.
It does look comfortable, but... I don't need to try it. Look, it's your money. If you really like it, go ahead and buy it. All right. I'll try it. Relax. Remember, you've got to stay cool.
Jack sits next to him.
Ooh, you're right. This is nice. And the leather doesn't rub your fur the wrong way.
A salesman frowns.
Get the dog off the sofa, please.
Oh, sorry, but he insists on checking it out before we buy it.
Well, it happens to be our finest model. $5,000.
What? $5,000 for a sofa? Are you sure?
Whatever you say.
We'll take it.
Jack hands the man a card.
And that one. And that one. And the two red ones over by the door.
Oh, very well. We can make delivery next week.
Jack looks at Lucky, who shakes his head.
No, I'm sorry. He wants them tomorrow or the deal's off.
Glancing at Lucky, the salesman shifts his weight.
Would a 10 o'clock delivery be satisfactory?
Lucky nods. Later in the shoe department.
Come on, make up your mind, Lucky.
Under a pile of shoes, Lucky sits up with a brown suede one in his mouth.
Great. I will take a pair of these too.
Jack hands it to a salesman standing by a stack of shoeboxes, then turns to Lucky and mouths, "That's plenty." Later, in the toy aisle of a pet store, Jack squeezes a stuffed carrot.
Hey, here's a nice one. Soft, squeaky. Here, why don't you give it a test shoot, see what you think.
Lucky backs away and shakes his head.
Too squeaky? Fine.
Jack wheels a loaded shopping cart down an aisle lined with chew toys.
Ooh, here's something no home should be without, a green lamb chop. What do you think?
Lucky shakes his head.
Nah, I didn't like it either.
They move on.
Ooh, look at this cheese-filled, smoky flavor. Ooh,
Jack shows Lucky a big rawhide.
Two of them? Okay. Awful.
Jack grabs handfuls.
I should taste test this stuff myself because I'll probably end up chewing on most of it.
Lucky trots away while Jack's not looking.
Now what?
Jack pushes his cart and finds Lucky staring at a fuzzy dog in a crate under an adoption sign.
Okay, this shopping spree is officially over. Come on.
Jack leads Lucky away. In another aisle, Allison kneels by a little girl looking at a puppy.
May I have him, Mom? I'll take care of him, I promise.
It's not that easy, honey. An apartment's no place for a puppy. He needs a yard to play in.
Let's move back to the house with Dad. He has a yard and everything.
Nicole, you know we can't do that.
Jack comes over.
Oh, what a cute puppy.
Allison hugs her daughter.
Did I say the wrong thing?
We don't have room for a puppy because my dad got the house.
Nicole.
I'm not married.
Lucky licks Nicole.
He likes me. What's his name?
Lucky. And I'm Jack. You know, I bet Lucky would love it if you came over to play sometime.
Really, can I, Mom?
We'll see, honey.
Yay, hear that, Lucky? We're gonna be friends.
Here you go. You got him?
Lucky heads off with Nicole.
Thanks. That was really sweet.
Oh, sure. Hey, any friend of Lucky's is a friend of mine.
Hey, look, I have some documents I need you to sign if you don't mind.
Oh, no problemo. All right. Okay. All righty.
Lucky sees a woman walk by with a cat.
Right there. Great.
I won't find print.
Jack snarls at the woman with the cat, and Allison arches her brow.
You don't like cats?
Nicole runs after Lucky.
Huh?
Mom, Lucky wants to leave!
Have time for a little walk?
Sure. Okay. Hold on, Nick, we're coming!
They ride an escalator.
The last time I spent an afternoon just hanging out at the mall. I was still living in Nebraska.
Nebraska? What was your other entertainment option? Tipping over the neighbor's cow?
For your information, there's a lot of fun things to do in the Midwest.
Yeah?
My sisters and my cousins, we'd all hang out. My mom used to call us the Seven Musketeers.
Wow, there's seven of you? Boy, it must seem real quiet now with just you and Nicole.
Well, quiet's okay. But I think she's missing out on something really special. Now, being from a big family, there's just always someone there for you. You know? Always.
They stroll together. At a mall ride, two big stuffed animals sit in the engine of a train, pulling cars filled with kids. Nicole rides with Lucky, hugging him as they go around the track. Later, as she walks through the mall with Jack and her mom, Lucky trots ahead and sniffs around a food court.
Thanks for the ride, Jack.
Oh, you're welcome. Listen, I love trains. You know, when I was little, I always wanted to be an engineer.
You know, for a bachelor, you're pretty good with kids.
Oh, well, thanks. I guess I do have a sensitive side. I mean, I'm not one of those guys who cries at the drop of a hat, but I do like kids and girls, too. In fact, listen, Allison, would you ever consider...
Jack starts to sniff as Lucky sniffs the air. The dog licks his lips, and Jack's eyes grow wide with excitement.
Wonton chicken.
Excuse me?
Pork. Sweet and sour pork.
What?
I can smell it. I can smell it. It's near.
He shakes his body like he's wagging a tail.
Yeah, it's probably over at One Ton Tommy's.
Jack grins at the takeout place.
Yeah!
Lucky jumps a bench.
They must be pretty hungry.
I guess so, honey. Come on, let's go.
Jack poses like Lucky, who stands with his paws on the counter. Lucky jumps on the counter. Later, Jack licks a plate as Lucky buries his nose in a takeout box.
Oh, gotta have more, more. Table scraps! Table scraps! I love one!
Jack crawls to another table where Lucky finds a pizza. They bite the same slice and play tug. People get up as Jack crawls after Lucky under their tables. Lucky stands with his paws on a waste bin. Jack's legs stick out of the opening and policemen rush over. At the mansion, box trucks sit parked in the driveway as another delivery truck pulls in. Jack strolls around with Lucky. Parked on the street in the van, Lyle watches the commotion.
What is all this? Are they remodeling the place? It looks like he bought the whole stupid town.
In the back with Margaret, Reuben peers through binoculars at a stack of boxes.
He's having steaks delivered. Tons of them.
What? Give me those.
She peers through the binoculars and sees Calvin watching a delivery man fill a cart with dog toys.
Hundreds of chew toys? I don't believe this.
She narrows her eyes.
Now's the time to make my move.
Reuben eyes her. In the driveway, the delivery man with the toy cart hands Calvin a paper.
How many dogs you got here, anyway?
Just one, but he and the dog have a very special relationship. Just go pile this up with the rest of the stuff.
Jack kneels by Lucky.
Admit it, you overdid it. Now where are we supposed to put all this stuff?
Lucky follows the man wheeling the steak boxes.
Lucky, come on. Can't you wait till dinner time?
Woohoo! Hello there!
Margaret grins.
Oh, my dear boy, please allow me to apologize for my behavior the other day. Say you'll forgive me.
Jack nods.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You can't imagine how distraught I was over the sudden passing of my beloved uncle. But you seem like a reasonable young man.
Uh-huh.
Good. Then we can discuss business.
She looks up and knits her brow.
What on earth are you doing to this house?
Oh, we're tearing out the marble floors.
Your what?
Well, it was Lucky's idea, not mine.
That is Carrara marble, imported from Naples, hand-carved and polished.
Yeah, but you should try running on it. I mean, your paws slip all over the place, especially if you're taking a really sharp turn.
I see. Do you mind if I ask what you intend to replace it?
Watch it, lady.
Two men pass by, carrying a roll of artificial grass on their shoulders.
AstroTurf.
Oh! But of course! Where were we? Oh, yes, business. I was thinking, perhaps there's a way that we could both profit.
Lucky sniffs bones in a wheelbarrow.
Bones! No!
Jack pants like a dog and wags with excitement.
Beef-basted, meaty mammoth, crunchy, munchy, grade-A certified bones!
My goodness, get a hold of yourself!
You know what I'm going to do with those bones, don't you? Bury them!
But why?
Duh, so I can dig them up again.
That seems rather silly, doesn't it?
You don't understand, do you? You never did. You gotta dig them up. Think about it. It's 2 a.m. You got nothing to do. All of a sudden, you remember. There's a bone buried in the yard. I can dig it up and chew it to pieces.
You're nothing but a dirty, filthy, disgusting young man.
What did you say?
Stay away from me.
There's something I've always wanted to do.
I'm warning you.
Jack drops to his hands and knees and tries to bite her leg. Margaret runs away, waving her arms. Jack stares after her with a piece of torn fabric dangling from his mouth. Margaret returns to the van.
Well, did you make a deal with them?
Not exactly.
What happened?
Let's just say he is a very disturbed young man.
She gets in the van, revealing torn fabric on the back of her skirt. She slides the side door closed, and Lyle shifts in the driver's seat.
All right, then, we're going to do it my way. And I'm going to really enjoy planning this one. Let's go.
They drive off. In the mansion, Lucky runs after Jack, who stops him.
I'll see if everything's ready.
Lucky watches Jack go downstairs.
Okay, just wait here a minute, all right? Calvin! You ready?
Oh, yeah, it's all done.
Shh.
I hope he likes it. I gotta tell you, I'm having a ball watching him throw Windsor's money around.
Yeah, that's the way a dog is when he's free to do whatever he wants. Reckless abandon. Hey, Calvin. Listen, I really appreciate you keeping all my little freakouts a secret. I mean, I just don't want anyone to know about this. Especially not Mr. Windsor's attorney, Miss Kent. All right?
No problem.
Thanks. All right, Lucky! Come on, time to play!
They open the door to a room with artificial turf.
Come on in.
Come on.
It's all yours, Luck.
Look what we set up for you, Lucky. Your very own sidewalk cafe.
With today's special, leg of moose.
Lucky tours the room. Big bones lie on the floor near a cafe table with treats.
You've made your mark, Lucky.
A refrigerated case displays meats.
Cold cuts, hot dogs, lamb chops, pork chops, roast beef, and burgers. Kibble by the carload.
Lip-smacking liver-flavored candy.
Gumballs that make their own gravy.
How about a couple barrels full of low-cal chew toys?
Treats fill bins like in a candy store.
Well, what do you think?
Where do you see the rest of this stuff?
Wow, look at this!
Lucky follows them across a bare rug into a spacious room with artificial turf on the floor. Jack climbs onto a big white sofa shaped like a bone and pats the cushion. Lucky hops up. On a leopard print rug, Calvin stands by a metal basket filled with dog toys. Calvin opens one side and the toys tumble out. Jack puts a tiger-striped rug over his head. Lucky lies on the sofa.
You still miss Mr. Windsor, don't you?
Lucky rests his long face between his paws.
It'll be all right, fella. We'll get through this together. All right, it's just gonna take some time. Ugh, right now, I am pooped. I'm going to bed. I had no idea taking care of a pile of money could be so exhausting.
Jack takes off his shoes and socks.
Whoa.
Lucky hops off the sofa and grabs a sock in his mouth.
Hey, what you doing, Lucky?
Oh, looks like he wants to play.
That just figures, you know, we've got thousands of dollars worth of toys in here, and he wants to play with a sock. All right.
Jack grabs one end, and Lucky tugs on the other.
All right, come on. I'm gonna get it.
Jack puts his end in his mouth, and they play tug. Lucky yanks the sock away.
All right, Lucky. We'll play again tomorrow, okay? I'm beat. I'll catch you in the morning, Calvin.
Okay, good night, Jack.
All right, good night, Lucky. What? No. We are not starting that. No means no.
Lucky dips his head and fixes his soft brown eyes on Jack.
Oh, all right. But only for tonight.
Lucky follows Jack, and Calvin shakes his head. In bed, Jack sleeps on his back while Lucky sleeps next to him, his head on a pillow and his front legs poking out of the covers. Outside, the heir's van parks on the street.
This is the last time I send you to buy disguises. You have no sense of taste or style.
It's all that we can afford.
Will you two just shut up and get out of the car?
Go out!
Lyle climbs into the back.
Out of the way.
Open here on my car.
The side door opens, and Reuben gets out of the van wearing goggles around his leather aviator's cap. Lyle gets out and puts on a hat. Margaret hurries after him. Wearing sunglasses and a beret, she climbs a fence.
We don't need a ladder, Margaret. It'll be easy to climb the fence.
Shh! They're gonna hear us! Oh, remind me to kill you when I get down from here!
It's the
quiet time for you, Margaret.
She drops to the ground, face down. Struggling as he climbs the fence, Lyle stands on Reuben's shoulders. Lyle flops on top of Margaret. Reuben watches from the other side of the fence.
Hey, what about me?
Later, Margaret leads the way, stepping cautiously over to a utility cabinet mounted on the side of the mansion. Holding a flashlight, Reuben opens a door, and Lyle opens an electrical box.
It's gonna cut the alarm and the telephones.
Margaret warily looks around as Lyle snips a wire. Reuben shines his light on a tangle of wires as Lyle cuts more. Red and green lights on a panel go out.
All right, now this is gonna take all the lights out.
Lyle pulls a lever and lights go out.
You will wake up the entire neighborhood. Get that light out of my face and follow me.
They sneak around the house. Inside, a flashlight shines on a dog sculpture. The beam shifts up the wall, illuminating a portrait of a husky-like dog, then a painting of golden-colored cocker spaniels. Margaret clenches her teeth as she moves through the house. A light shines on a spotted dog figurine, then moves up to a painting of two whippet-like dogs.
It's hideous. It's one big canine nightmare.
I actually kind of like this carpet.
Shh! Attention! All right, check your weapons.
Reuben and Margaret draw guns.
Remember, this darn has got enough sedative in it to knock this mud out cold. We're gonna shoot him, and then we're gonna drag him out of here. All right?
Margaret nods.
She has no camouflage on.
You have no...
Lyle gives her a makeup tin.
Do I have to?
Reuben takes his foot off a squeaky toy.
Get with the program.
Lyle turns away from Margaret, who cringes as she applies grease paint on her face. In another room, Reuben peers around a corner wielding his dart gun. He suddenly ducks out of view. Stepping into the light again, Reuben aims his dart gun. Gaping, he moves across the room and shines his light on an inflatable Dalmatian, losing air through the dart in its back. The head sags. Reuben's mouth hangs open.
I got him!
Reuben walks away and Lyle steps into the room. He glances around anxiously, then hurries across the shadowy room and hides under a rug shaped like a bear. Margaret enters, wielding her dart gun in one hand and her flashlight in the other. With dark smudges of grease paint on her face, she looks around the shadowy room. Her mouth hangs open as she sees the bear rug move. Clenching her lips, she aims her gun. Lyle sits up.
Lyle? What were you doing under there?
I was hiding!
In bed, Lucky lifts his head.
Get up! We have plenty to do! Fine, I'll be fine. Fine.
Lyle walks off into the shadows while Margaret turns into the kitchen. Her light glints on a variety of bones hanging from the ceiling. She frowns in disgust.
This is his idea of decorating. We ought to put a dart in him.
She shoots Reuben.
Ooh!
Reuben falls into a bin and candy spills out. In his room, Jack sits up in bed. Margaret laughs as Reuben slips on gumballs rolling across the turf. As she tries to help him, they fall into a toy basket and everything spills out. Listening from his room, Jack nudges Lucky.
Wake up, Lucky. Did you hear that?
Let's go check it out.
You have to watch where you aim that thing.
Let's just get out of here!
As they clamber to their feet, Lyle sneaks upstairs with his dart gun drawn. Pausing, he scans the shadows, then continues on. Emerging from a hallway, Margaret backs into a dark room. She reels away from an inflatable flamingo and backs toward Lyle, who walks with his back to her. They spin in sync, barely avoiding collision and unaware of each other. Margaret glances around suspiciously and moves on. As Calvin sleeps in his room, Jack claps a hand over his mouth.
There's someone in the house.
push the emergency button on the alarm system.
I tried. It's dead.
911?
The phones are out, too. Okay, come on. You go downstairs. Lucky and I will cover the upstairs. Right? Here, you're going to need something to protect yourself with.
What am I supposed to do with this thing?
Hit him with the dry end. Let's go.
Wielding a big rawhide bone, Calvin heads off. Jack and Lucky sneak into a dark room. Reuben steps through a doorway and crosses in and out of shadow as he moves through the house. Margaret stops short as she sees him. He raises his hands apologetically, and they split up. Margaret crosses a hallway, just missing Jack and Lucky, who turn down it. Calvin creeps into a dark room, wielding the bone like a club. He sneaks past a door. Opening it, Reuben steps into the light. Staring after Calvin, Reuben gapes as he backs away, his dart gun aimed at the ceiling. Reuben brushes past a plant, then startles as he backs into Lyle.
Will you stop sneaking up on people?
I was here first.
Lyle peers down the hallway.
Follow me.
They move into darkness. On the stairs, Calvin slowly descends, clutching the bone. Two French doors open. Reuben and Lyle step into the bedroom. They see a dog bed and a food bowl on the floor near a wooden footboard. Leveling their dart guns, they take aim across the room. Margaret yanks two darts out of herself.
You cretins!
Margaret, I thought you were the dog.
They see Lucky.
That's it! Shoot him! Shoot him!
Lyle's dart gun is empty.
To do the job! All right, everybody, freeze!
Jack wields a bone, and Margaret shoots a dart into it.
I missed!
Jack snarls. Dropping onto his hands and knees, Jack barks with Lucky. The heirs run away. Reuben takes the lead and dashes down a hallway. Bringing up the rear, Lyle limps after Margaret, and Lucky gives chase. Reuben tries to open French doors as Lyle and Margaret plow into him. They crash through the glass onto a balcony. Lyle and Margaret fall off and drop into a water garden. Lucky barks at Reuben, who climbs over the balcony railing and jumps into the water. Jack crawls onto the balcony and barks with Lucky. Reuben climbs out of the water and Lyle follows him. Standing up soaking wet, Margaret tugs a fish out of her shirt and throws it aside. She clambers out of the water and runs off with the others. Posing like Lucky, who has his paws on the rail, Jack barks.
Hey. Oh, come on, Jack, come on! Jack, come on!
Calvin helps Jack up.
I'm gonna go next door and call the cops.
I know who it was. Windsor's creepy relatives.
Did you see them?
No, it was too dark.
Well, then how'd you know it was them?
Morning.
You smelled them.
That's right.
Excuse me?
Detective, you're just gonna have to take my word for it. I know their scent.
What, a cologne, a cigar? What exactly did you smell?
Jack looks at Lucky, who shakes his head.
Never mind. You'll never believe me.
The detective knits his brow. In his office, Mr. Pfister presses a button on his phone.
Send them in.
The door opens, and Lyle limps into the office dressed in a dark suit. Reuben follows with his arm in a sling. Behind them, Margaret walks stiffly, wearing a skirt suit with a fur-lined collar. The attorney furrows his brow as the injured heirs sit down.
Well, we've thought about your proposal, and we're willing to take you up on it.
Well, case is more complicated than I thought. So my price is going up. It's now 50%.
50%?
That's almost half.
You're a low-life opportunist.
Yes. And I have a law degree to prove it.
He smirks. At the mansion.
Set! Hike!
Lucky runs.
Go along!
Jack throws a football down the hall.
Touchdown! Woo! Nice catch!
Jack answers the door.
Hi.
Hi.
Allison enters and her smile fades.
You remodeled.
Yeah, yeah. We really love how it turned out, too.
You do? Jack, we have a problem. Where's the TV?
It's right in here.
They move to a TV.
What's up?
The local news, and you're not gonna like it.
Windsor's heirs claim their uncle was mentally unstable at the time he wrote his will, which made Lucky the richest dog in the world.
Not only did he leave the dog millions of dollars, but he appointed a dog psychic as trustee.
In our suit against the estate, we allege that the dog psychic, Jack Morgan, is himself mentally incompetent and may have taken advantage of the elderly Mr. Windsor.
Lucky shakes his head.
That this young man not
That's
only
not true.
Himself as a dog therapist, but also claims he can read dogs' minds.
That's right. He's either a con man or a lunatic.
Hardly the type of individual responsible enough to serve as trustee for this
estate. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And what he said.
Reuben glances at his attorney.
There you have it. One of the strangest cases we've seen in a long time. A bitter battle that can best be described as dog eat dog. Reporting live.
I did not take advantage of Mr. Windsor.
Relax, okay? I saw this coming. Whenever there's this much money involved, there's always a dispute.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
We go to court. They say you're nuts. We say prove it.
Well, can they?
Of course not. Well, not unless there's something you're not telling me. Is there?
No.
Are you sure? Because I'll fight for you, Jack, but you've got to tell me everything before we get to court.
You know what I know.
Okay. Bring him on.
In court.
So I walk into his office and there he is, asleep.
And where was your dog?
Up on the desk, eating a sandwich.
Tell me, Mr. Mooney, why did you and your wife bring your dog to Mr. Morgan in the first place?
Because he was eating too much.
At the defense table, Lucky eyes Jack and Allison. A housekeeper testifies.
He and the dog were digging in the dirt, looking for bones, barking and howling, with him talking to the dog like he understood every word.
Then what happened?
You mean after he made improper advances toward me?
Lucky eyes Jack.
He chewed up the furniture, tore apart the cushions, the pillows, everything.
The dog did that.
Both of them did that.
A brown-haired policeman testifies.
When I got there, he was head first in the garbage can. The dog, too.
And what was Mr. Morgan doing in the garbage can?
I don't know, but when I pulled him out, he had a hot dog in his mouth.
The judge bangs her gavel.
It's a simple question, Mr. Bridges. You live at the mansion. Surely you observed Mr. Morgan's conduct.
I like to keep to myself.
Are you saying that you've never seen Jack Morgan exhibit unusual behavior?
It depends on what you mean by unusual.
Very well. Would you describe Mr. Morgan as normal?
There's all kinds of normal.
Mr. Bridges, have you seen Jack Morgan act like a dog?
Calvin glances uneasily at Jack and Allison, then looks at the judge.
I'm afraid you'll have to answer the question.
Okay. Yes. On occasion.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Jack hangs his head.
Details, Mr. Bridges. Details.
This could take some time.
Mr. Pfister questions Jack.
As a practicing dog therapist, you claimed you could actually read dogs' minds. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And when you made that claim to your clients, was it the truth?
Jack shifts his gaze, and Lucky glances at Allison.
No. But when I was younger, I actually could read my dog's mind. And for some reason, I can read Lucky's mind.
Of course you can. With millions of dollars in your control, suddenly the old power comes back. What a coincidence.
Objection.
Overruled. But move it along, counselor.
Let's get this straight. You were lying before, but now you're telling the truth, right?
That's right. I'm through lying.
Let's be clear about this.
You claim you can read Lucky's thoughts. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
Well, that's very interesting. What's on his mind now?
The heir smiles smugly. Jack looks at Lucky, who pumps his lips and eyes Mr. Pfister's shoes.
Your shoes.
My shoes.
Jurors smile.
Oh, yeah, he loves to chew on leather. It's his favorite. Yes,
very clever. Very clever indeed. I'm sure you had lots of clever answers for the elderly Mr. Windsor when he came to you in earnest, believing you could actually help him.
Objection.
Sustained.
No more questions.
You may step down, Mr. Morgan.
Calvin rolls his eyes. Lucky stares at Margaret as she testifies.
It was a harmless visit. I simply intended to reminisce, to have one last look, to feel the presence of my dear departed uncle. And then, that monster turned violent and cruel.
Lucky glances at Jack, who shakes his head reassuringly. Margaret cries on the stand.
I know this is difficult.
Mr. Pfister glares across the courtroom.
What did he do?
He chased me off the property, the home I once cherished. Galloping on all fours, howling like a beast.
Then what?
Then he attacked me.
He attacked you with his fists?
No.
How then?
With his teeth.
She stands up and shows the jury her torn skirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, I offer this torn and tattered skirt to the court. Plain and simple evidence of the true mental depravity of Mr. Jack Morgan.
Lucky and Jack meet with Allison in a conference room.
So, when did you plan on telling me about your mental condition?
It's not a mental condition.
I'm your attorney, Jack. You were supposed to tell me everything.
I didn't want you to think I was crazy.
Well, now I know you're crazy.
Lucky shakes his head.
So what do we do?
We go back in that courtroom and take our licks. You lose it all, and I move to a city where they've never heard about this case.
Wait a minute, you're giving up?
It's over, Jack. The relatives get everything, including Lucky.
What?
Jack hugs Lucky.
No. No way. They can have the money, but they can't have Lucky.
It doesn't work that way, Jack.
Allison, I can't leave Lucky with those vultures. He won't last a week. Put me on the stand. I can prove I'm not crazy.
How?
There's something else I haven't told you about yet. I can sort of channel Lucky. I know it's weird, but it's true.
What are you talking about?
Allison, the dog's voice will come out of my mouth.
You're kidding.
I wish I was. Allison, you gotta believe me.
What will he say?
Jack looks at Lucky, who nods.
I don't have the slightest clue.
Allison glances at Lucky and he pumps his lips. In court, Calvin clasps his hands.
Ms. Kent, will you call your next witness?
Your Honor, with the court's permission, we are prepared to demonstrate conclusively that Jack Morgan can, in fact, read Lucky's mind.
This ought to be interesting.
This is a waste of the court's time, Your Honor.
Afraid of the truth, Mr. Pfister?
No, but you have failed to produce one witness to support his claims. If you can bring one person into this courtroom who believes Jack Morgan can read this dog's mind, I'll agree to a demonstration.
The judge wears a dubious expression, and the heirs stare at Jack. Calvin stands up.
I believe him, Your Honor. Do your stuff, pal.
Jack, will you and Lucky please take the stand?
Jack takes off his sport coat and exchanges a nod with Calvin. The heirs frown as Jack takes the stand. Wearing a red sweater vest over a white shirt and tie, he faces the court.
All right. Mr. Morgan, please tell the court what Lucky is thinking right now.
Jack glances down at Lucky. Sitting, the dog looks up and meets Jack's gaze.
I'm not sure.
Your Honor.
Wait.
Jack crouches by Lucky.
Come on, boy. What's the problem? I'm trying to save our tails.
I know I told you not to get overexcited, but now's your chance to really let loose. Lucky, pay attention.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I need just another minute. He needs to get worked up and emotional.
I think we've seen enough, Your Honor. This demonstration proves just one thing, that Jack Morgan will do anything to get his hands on the inheritance. The Windsor estate rightfully belongs to his blood relations, not this ignorant dog.
Lucky snarls.
Jack Morgan is a phony and a
Jack
fraud.
Snarls.
No better than the mindless beasts he claims to communicate with.
Jack barks at Mr. Pfister, who backs away. Jack drops to his hands and knees next to Lucky, and they bark. The judge and Kelvin look on while Allison crouches next to Lucky.
Calm down. Okay, Lucky, relax. Calm down.
As Allison pets Lucky, he sits, then lies down. Jack does the same. They roll onto their sides, and jurors stare.
There you go. It's all right, Lucky.
She rubs Lucky's belly, and Jack purses his lips.
That's a spot. Yeah. Oh, no. That's a spot.
On his back, Jack pants, and jurors laugh.
Okay, you can sit up now. Sit up now. Come on, sit up.
Lucky and Jack roll over and shake their heads.
Am I speaking to Lucky now?
They eye her.
In the firm. What's up?
This is just an act.
We'll just see. Please, face the jury.
On his hands and knees, Jack turns to face the jury and sits on his heels. Lucky faces the opposite direction, sitting next to Allison.
Choose an object, Mr. Pfister. Show it to Lucky, but do not let Mr. Morgan see it.
Mr. Pfister steps closer.
Hmm.
He holds out a pen, and Lucky sniffs it.
What's this, Lucky?
Looks like a stolen hotel pen. Did you take the towels, too?
Nothing but a good guess.
Try something else.
Your Honor.
Do it.
Mr. Pfister takes a candy bar out of his suit pocket, and Lucky sniffs it. Jack knits his brow.
Ooh, chocolate caramel nougat with roasted peanuts. My favorite, I'm drooling. When's lunch, anyway?
Allison shows the judge the candy bar.
Extraordinary.
This is outrageous.
What else can you tell us, fella?
I say we cut to the chase here, Judge. There's a very good reason why my master, Mr. Windsor, cut those three out of his will. They're pinheads. Oh, sure, they act like they're purebreds, but the truth of the matter is, they're the runts of the litter. Mr. Windsor knew that Jack had something extra going for him. And with my help, he's starting to learn how to get the best out of life. Jack's not crazy. A little boring, maybe, but most two-leggers are. I don't know. Maybe you've got to have a lifespan as short as mine to get this. But you've got to enjoy every minute of your life. It's the simple things that matter. The sweet song of a can opener. Those precious moments when you catch your own tail. Enjoy them while you can. Because you could run out the street, get hit by a bus at any minute, and... lights out.
Jack and Lucky turn their heads in sync and look at Lyle dropping a tablet into a glass of water. As it fizzes, they lower their heads. Lyle knits his brow as Jack and Lucky stare at him. Allison crouches next to them.
Lucky? Are you okay?
The dog watches another tablet fizz in the water. A flashback shows Lyle pouring a poison powder into a cup of hot chocolate. He makes a face at Lucky, who holds his leash in his mouth. Lyle tries to shoo Lucky away, then leaves. Lucky watches Mr. Windsor stroll into the kitchen and pour cream into the poisoned drink. The older man sees Lucky.
Not tonight, Lucky. It's the coldest night of the year. You know just how to get to me, don't you, boy?
Mr. Windsor takes a long sip. Out in the rain, he unclips Lucky's leash.
Oh, you'll be okay on your own. Yeah, have fun. Yeah, have fun.
Fog swirls as Lucky trots across the driveway. Mr. Windsor drops his umbrella and collapses. Lucky watches him fall to the ground. In court, Lucky stares off.
Jack? Jack? Jack?
Jack glares at Lyle.
Jack!
He springs to his feet.
What'd you do with the cup, Lyle? Huh? Lucky doesn't know what you put in that cup, but I do. You poisoned the old man, didn't you? It was murder. You killed your uncle.
Lyle draws a gun.
Okay, put the gun down. Put it down. Everybody freeze. Put the gun down.
Put it down.
Come on, let's go.
A bailiff lowers his weapon. Margaret and Reuben get up, and Lucky pads away. Lyle backs toward the doors with Margaret and Reuben. Lucky jumps, knocking Lyle down. Bailiffs grab Lyle.
Lucky!
What on earth were you thinking of?
Well, if it had worked, you wouldn't be complaining.
Lucky lies on his side.
Oh, come on, Lucky. Hey, buddy, come on, hang in there. I need you as much as you need me. Oh, Lucky.
Jack strokes Lucky and the dog lifts his head.
Look, he's fine. The bullet just grazed his ear.
Ow!
Jack grabs his own ear. Jack shares a laugh with the jury. At the mansion with Allison.
Okay, so what's the big surprise?
Be patient, be patient.
Nicole sits with Calvin.
Mommy, look! Jack got me the puppy I wanted. We're gonna keep him here at Lucky's house.
Oh, cute! It really wasn't necessary.
I know, but like you said, you want Nicole to feel like she's part of a big family, and, well, I was hoping that maybe you do too. We're here for you, Allison. All of us.
Lucky sits with the fluffy dog from the pet store. More dogs relax around puppies in playpens.
Lucky finally realized all the dogs at the pet shop were for sale.
Just what we need, more dogs.
Well, pal, you got everything you ever wanted. Guess the old man knew what he was doing when he named you Lucky. Yeah, I guess I'm lucky too.
Togetherness. I know it sounds funny, but we're lucky as lucky can be.
Calvin smiles fondly as Jack pets Lucky and the fluffy brown and white dog from the pet store. Grinning, Jack wraps his arms around both dogs.
No matter what they do or say, we'll never be alone. 'Cause what we got is here to stay, and we're lucky right down to the bone.
Fade to black.
Togetherness, the two of us forever, we're together right till the end. The very best, there's nothing better than to know you found a friend. 'Cause I've got you, and you've got me, and there's no better place to be. We'll always have the best, and nothing.
This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Laura Post,